right, if you missed any of Elijah Lee, catch it on the podcast page, newsradiokman.com, the on-demand tab. We're back here on The Game. Mitch has Jabroni of the Week in about 25 minutes before we get out of here. Before we continue the conversation about what actually convinced me to watch some of that softball game last night, which I still kind of can't believe when I say it out loud, I will take the time to respond to a tweet here we got to The Game KMAN. If you have questions or comments, The Game KMAN to shoot those to us. This was from last hour, the opening segment of the show, when I was discussing what I thought was a good plan from Sam Mellinger to help alleviate some of the stress in these situations of a kid wanting to transfer and the school not wanting to grant the release. If the NCAA would make the policy that the kid has to wait 15 days after initially approaching the school about transferring, while knowing that the school also, at the end of 15 days, can't deny their release. They have to let them go wherever if they still want to transfer at the end of 15 days. I think that would be a pretty good way to keep schools out of these situations where they have to look bad in the public eye. I still think having to sit out a year when you transfer would be enough of a deterrent to keep it from being a giant problem at schools of guys transferring. And I really think that if you have the 15-day period and the kid knows going in, at the end of it, the school cannot block me, I think you would get a more cooperative conversation going between each of the two sides there to try and figure out what's going to be best in that scenario for the kid to go ahead and transfer. And we got a tweet from Bucky who said, "Are you so naive to think that Bill and staff weren't trying to help understand Corey's problems long before this?" I'm doing my best to piece this together. I assume that was in reference to me saying, hey, if you have that 15 days, you can also have the coaching staff and whoever's involved with the program working to talk to the parents, try and get involved from that standpoint and figure out what's going on with the kid transferring here. No, I mean, I don't think that I don't totally – like, obviously, yes, they've had conversations, and I don't doubt at all that they had conversations about what's going on, what's best. In fact, we know that. We know that Gene Taylor talked to the parents – because he told us that on air yesterday. So that conversation certainly happened. But I would say two things. The waiting period, that's not the primary part of the waiting period. The primary reason for it would be to allow the kid to really think about it and make sure that on his end things are good. The school, I'm just pointing out, can also be communicating in that time period as well. And again, I feel like it would be a much more productive conversation when the kid knows that in the end, if he still feels convicted that he wants to leave, he's going to be able to. You're more combative if you know that, hey, if things don't work out right, if I don't make the right pitch here to the school or the people that are going to listen to my appeal, in this case for Corey Sutton as well, that I'm not going to be able to go where I want to go. I think that puts you at more of like you want to fight as opposed to just go ahead and converse and try and find the right solution. I feel like that makes sense.
I agree.
You're not always as on edge when you're going to have that conversation.
When you are a young person and you are, quote-unquote, taking on the man, you're taking on a big enterprise, a big industry, you're going to feel like you're being backed into a corner. And when that happens, it's natural to feel like you got to, you know, put the hands up and fight for yourself. And so that attitude in itself is what creates a lot of this.
I do agree. Thus, the plan there, that we need to push that to the NCAA. Gene Taylor told us, there might be some legislation coming, probably going to be on the grad transfer side of things, but just go have everybody read the Kansas City Star website, have everybody listen to The Game. I feel like we can come to a nice consensus here, get everything moving in the right direction. All right, last night, after tons of pleading from Twitter, I saw so many tweets telling me to go to ESPN and watch that softball game that went 17 innings in the Women's College World Series between Oklahoma and Florida. Eventually, I gave in. After the Royals game got out of hand, and I watched At Midnight on the DVR, and I think there was one other show. I may have even watched Better Call Saul. I think I did watch Better Call Saul.
It was good last
night. After all that, I still came back, and it was in the 17th inning. Then I finally flipped over to the softball game and actually was entertained by the half inning of that I watched because it was such a crazy thing that they were playing in the 17th inning combined with the stakes being that high. That's obviously the other part that really drives it there. So that's what it took to get me to actually willingly flip on a college softball game and watch that. Other, like, non-revenue, non-Big Three sports, what are the stakes that it would take you to get to watch those? That's what it really got me to thinking. And my answers vary greatly depending on what the sport is. I tried to pick out some of what I thought would be the most popular. And the easy one for me to turn to first here is hockey, because it's the one where I would have the strongest stance on and the strongest feeling on, and that is basically that you're really probably never going to get me to willingly turn on a hockey game.
You're saying this during the Stanley Cup Finals.
I am.
There was a game last night on NBC.
The catfish story was by far the most entertaining thing that could come out of a hockey series to me. Now, you got to understand, I mean, I grew up in Kansas City, Wichita / Kansas City. I claim Kansas City.
No, I don't blame you.
No, well, yeah, I lived in Wichita until I was 10, so my adult, quote-unquote adult, whatever. I came of age, really, in Kansas City. Either way, it's not a hockey market. There was no professional hockey franchise in the area to root for at all. So I never just had much of a reason to get into hockey, and that's what it takes. I mean, it takes having a team there. Like, I'm not as into the NBA because I didn't grow up in an NBA market. So hockey was that, except it's just lower down the ladder of sports I care about anyway, because I do care somewhat about basketball, so the NBA is above it. But I just never had any interest in hockey. I would go to a game. Sure, I know everyone says it's awesome to go to games in person. I wouldn't have a problem going to a game in person. But as far as watching it on TV, going out of my way, if it's Game 7 of this Stanley Cup Finals and we're in sudden death, like double overtime, maybe.
Really?
Maybe.
I mean, see, that's what it is for me. If it's the playoffs and it's overtime, but it doesn't have to be the finals, it doesn't have to be Game 7, and it doesn't have to be double overtime. Playoff hockey in overtime is really, really exciting.
Well, it's exciting for the first 5 minutes because they go all out and they're trying to score. Half the time, actually most of the time, a hockey game, when it goes to overtime, is settled in the first 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. After that, the period is pretty much over because they used all their energy in the first 5 minutes, so it's going to probably go to a second. There is a big stat about this last year about how overtime games in hockey are mostly decided in the first 5 minutes or they're going to go to another period.
Would you watch any kind of playoff hockey game that's in overtime? Would you watch any playoff hockey game, period?
I have watched all. Well, no, not all, but I watched most of last night, and I watched most of Game 2. So I watch playoff hockey no matter what.
So you're in on it.
I do. I really like
the
hockey.
The problem with playoff hockey or in the Stanley Cup Finals, though, is that fights don't happen because they're worried about getting suspended for the rest of the series or something like
but
that.
But they will
it's,
hit.
It's too important.
They will hit.
Oh, yeah, the hits are hard, but you don't see them drop the gloves very much.
And even for me, with the fight aspect, that obviously would increase my interest, but I mean, if there's a great fight, I can go see it on Deadspin. I can go see the highlights of it somewhere. I can pick that up. I can find that wherever I want it. I don't need to sit through and watch the game. How about tennis? What are the stakes that it would take you to watch willingly tennis on TV?
It's got to be a Grand Slam final, and it has to feature Roger Federer.
Really?
That's it.
I mean, I'm along the same lines there. It definitely is going to take a Grand Slam final.
Mm-hmm.
I would say just latter stages of a Grand Slam. It doesn't necessarily have to be the final, but here's what it takes. And tennis is obviously an individual sport, so it's about the individuals taking part in this. To me, it's Venus, Serena, Nadal, Federer. If Nadal and Federer are playing each other, I'll watch it. If one of them is about to be upset, I would flip to it. But I'm not going to just watch a Federer match or just watch a Nadal match. I might if it's Venus and Serena. I really do. Like, Venus and Serena are such a compelling story coming from Compton, turning into what they are, and they're such iconic figures, particularly now Serena, obviously. We're not going to be seeing her for a little while. But those two I would watch before I would watch Nadal or Federer. But certainly if they're playing each other, I would flip to it for a little while. The last time they did, I remember watching some of that. Just kind of on in the background. I'm not going to be really locked in paying attention, but I will occasionally watch some tennis. It's all based, though, on the individual star power.
And there are exceptions to basically all the sports we're talking about where if there's something really historical going on, like the Isner-Mahut tennis match from like 6 or 7 years ago, the Wimbledon match that went like 2 days long, that was fascinating, and I did watch that.
The weird thing about tennis here being a more individual sport, to me, it's not as much about the stakes as it is I just like watching the big stars. That becomes more compelling than the stakes to me. You ever watching any tennis, Mitch?
Yeah, if there's a couple of attractive ladies, I will watch tennis. Other than that, I'd rather play tennis than watch
it. Only if
it.
It's like Maria Sharapova or something.
Sure. Yeah.
So you're okay. You're going for Anna Kournikova, Maria Sharapova, going down that road. Okay. All right. What about soccer?
Sporting KC, I'll watch. World Cup or World Cup qualifiers, if they're involving the U.S., I'll watch. And when there really just isn't any other sports on, then I'll watch just a generic, you know, Arsenal Man United match or something like that. I'll watch more soccer than hockey or tennis, that's for sure.
This one's unique for me because I went through a phase in college, and it was honestly because of the video game FIFA. Got really into playing that all the time. That
awesome game.
I then started to watch some European soccer. So I went through a phase where I really cared about it, and you know, honestly, looking back on it now, I feel somewhat disingenuous about it. Like, I look back on it and I say, man, how much would real soccer fans, like, hate me? The kid that just picks up FIFA and decides all of a sudden that I know and like European soccer. But nowadays, you know, I've come out of it and I still, you know, I have, like, some interest, but I'm really not going out of my way to watch it. A lot of the, like, English Premier League games are on way early in the morning on the weekends, too. So that makes it tougher. If it's a big Sporting KC match, I might flip it on for a little while. If it's the Champions League final, I might flip it on for a little while. But outside of that, I'm really not watching too much soccer.
I'm a big KC soccer fan. I go to all the games, and I've been trying to get more into the Premier League. I play a lot of FIFA.
Do you have a Premier League team?
No, not really.
Mine's Chelsea, who just won the championship. I know. Really going outside the box.
Pick Chelsea.
FIFA picked me to pick my favorite Premier League team, and I just went with Liverpool because that's where the Beatles are from.
There you go.
I jumped on the Man City bandwagon before they got as good as they are now.
Do not come at me.
Oh, circa 2008. Circa 2008, Man City was not what Chelsea is right now, my friend. They were the little brother to Man U.
Yeah.
They were like the Cubs.
Yeah, but they're not anymore.
All right, finally here, I put this one down mainly because of the relationship we have with this entertainment event slash sport, I suppose, on this show. But wrestling, to me, you know that I have become somewhat immersed in wrestling just by osmosis because of Mitch, because of my roommate who watches it a lot. I mean, my stance there is if it's on, which it is quite a bit when I come home in the evenings, if it's on, I'll watch it. If it's big event like WrestleMania or whatever and people I know are having get-togethers to watch it, yeah, I'll go do that. But generally, I'm not going real outside of my way to watch it.
That's about it.
Now, if we're talking about like stakes here, I don't, you know, I mean, the stakes are quite literally made up. So I that doesn't draw you in near as much. So maybe that wasn't fair to put it in the same category.
And Mitch, we don't need an answer from you.
Well, I want to ask John, since you've known me, you've known your roommate, all the people you know that watch wrestling, do you have more respect for it than you did before?
I will say this. I understand the appeal more. I understand the appeal more. I was going to say, I used to think it was stupid. But I do, I am entertained by it sometimes, you know, when I'm watching it. Obviously, I found Jack Gallagher, who I think is hilarious. And I found The Miz, who I think is hilarious. So there are parts of it that I get why it's entertaining. But honestly, a lot of it is just everything outside of the actual matches. I don't like once those matches start, I just, I'm there for the trash talk. I'm there for all the hoopla that surrounds it. I can understand how it's entertaining. I mean, I'm not trying to talk down to you if you like wrestling.
I understand.
I watch Catfish. Like, I love that show, Party Down South. I watch a lot of dumb reality TV, is basically what I'm trying to say. We all have those things that are not the greatest, you know, they're not exactly Picasso masterpieces that we're watching all the time. So I get it. Everyone has their thing. It's just not mine.
I wanted to get your guys' takes on a couple of the other things that you see on ESPN2 every now and then. Poker, what would it take for you to watch poker?
Boy, pretty much never. When I leave the TV on ESPN and something else ends and World Series of Poker kicks on.
Wait, and you know me, I watch the main event every
right, year. Right, yeah, I expected that. What about fishing?
No.
Fishing, would you ever watch fishing on television?
I'm not sure I could think of it. I'd rather watch hockey.
And the last one. The last one is one that's growing in popularity for some reason, esports. Have you ever watched esports on ESPN2?
Esports?
Like people playing video games.
Video games.
I'm a big gamer, so I enjoy it. That's just my preference.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really a big gamer. Maybe if I was watching some people playing Madden, but then it would just make me want to play the game.
You wouldn't watch people play FIFA?
No.
Okay.
No, that was the worst part of my FIFA phase was when you didn't have the sticks, when you were waiting for the sticks. It was awful to just sit there and watch. Mitch has Jabroni of the Week in 10 minutes. Real quick, sad blast from the past when we come back.